Successfully turned this on? Oh, wonderful. Oh, yeah, I can hear myself too. Well, it's lovely to be here. Thank you for the opportunity to come and talk to you all. This church has got a very special place in my heart. I was here from 1990 to 1992, and it was here that I saw that God really does something. If you have a look at the missionaries you guys support, Gil Appleby and I, we were youth leaders here, and Jeremy and Christina were kids who were in the youth. And so, yeah, so we just saw amazing things happen with children, and I think that really is what helped me to see that ministry was something to work towards. And so, yeah, so I'm very thankful for this church and for the opportunities that this church gave me to develop ministry skills and to see God at work in the lives of the people around me. So I'm now the CEO of Global Recordings Network. It's a post that I have had now for 7 years. And our job is to tell the story of Jesus in every language. And I thought that we would do a quick survey of the Bible and see what it has to say about languages. If you go to Genesis chapter 1, you'll see on the sixth day, God created people and the animals. And in verse 28, God blessed them and said to them, this is to the people, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So God's instructions to the people were, be fruitful, multiply and fill the earth. So pretty clear instructions. But beings, the sinful human beings that we are, what did the people decide to do? The exact opposite. Here we find, after the flood, the people had one language. I mean, how nice is that? You can all understand each other. Go to Sydney, and that's not the case. Go overseas. I was in Myanmar recently, and our minders had left us, and we went to a restaurant by ourselves. And the way I ended up ordering my food was going, bark, 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 because I couldn't read their squiggles. And there was no pictures. And so, yeah, so that was my attempt to say, I'd like some chicken. And I did that because I thought chicken was a pretty safe bet in Asia. And so that worked. But, you know, like this language thing is a real hassle. And back here, there was only one language. That was not a problem. But all the people, instead of following God's instructions and spreading out, they all clumped together on the plains of Shinar. And in verse 4, the people said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. They don't want to make a name for God. They don't want to give glory to God. They want to be the important ones. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth, which is exactly what God wanted them to do. And so arguing with God generally doesn't end well. And so God decided, okay, well, these people are not going to do what I want. So I've got one up on them. And so God comes down in verse 7. Let us confuse their language so they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of the whole earth, and they stopped building the city. And now we've got at least 12,000 different languages and dialects that people speak around the world, which makes life quite challenging, especially when you move out of your own tribal area. But, you know, did God then decide? You move to Genesis 12, and God chooses Abram. And Abram lives over there in the Middle East, and, you know, God chose them. He could have chosen some Celts in the UK. He could have chosen some Incas in South America. But he chose Abram. But his concern wasn't just for Abram and for his family. If you look in verse 3, God says to Abram, I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So right from the start, it was God's intention to bless everybody through Abram. So even though he mixed up all the languages, his intention was still that everybody would be blessed and have a relationship with him. Now, Global Recordings Network, what we do is that we go out and we make recordings of the gospel in people's tribal language so that you can go there and you can't talk to them in their own language, but you can actually play the gospel to them so that they can understand it. And so in most of the countries where we work, you know, there'll be a trade language, an official language, which everybody sort of speaks. You know, you can use it to buy your food, you can use it to trade, but you really use your own heart language if you're going to talk about anything important with anybody who's important to you. And so it means that in Myanmar, our guys can run around the country speaking Burmese, but you can play the messages in people's own tribal language so they really understand it. But they can get around using Burmese. In Nepal, it's the same. You know, everybody speaks a bit of Nepali, but the tribal languages are the important ones, and so you can go to the villages and they can hear the gospel in their own language. So we'll play a video which tells you about a recording project in Thailand.
My name is U.
Okay.
Probably a strange name to your ears. It could be another name, Nong or Ajay, Lamaya or Renit.
Do we give up? Okay, we should probably give up. Okay. You can listen to it. Yeah, well, pardon? Well, I may as well just talk and tell you what it talks about. That's probably easier than watching a video without video. So we work in 40 different countries around the world, and then a lot of those will go into other countries nearby and record there as well. So our team in Thailand also records in Vietnam, Laos and Cambodia. So they do cross boundaries. And in the last 80 years, we've now got messages in available on the internet. There's almost 6,000 different languages and dialects. And then there are others that aren't in a state yet where they can be made available for the digital world. And we've seen those recordings really have a positive impact. Let me tell you the story of Tashi. Tashi was a Tibetan Buddhist who lived in Nepal up near the Chinese border. And he decided that he wanted to become a Buddhist monk. And so he came down to Kathmandu and he went to Buddhist school to do that. And while he was in Kathmandu, he met a couple of Christians and he decided that he really needed to find out about Christianity. And so he took a 2-month leave from his studies and he went and he investigated Christianity. And in the process, he became a Christian. And then he wanted to take the gospel back to his family. back in his village. It was something like a four-day journey to get back to his village. He went back to his village and they chased him out. They wouldn't let him come back. And so he was very sad about this. He came back, a Christian school gave him a job, and he kept going back and trying to visit his family, but they wouldn't let him in. Then he met one of our workers in Nepal, and he gave him one of those hand-wound MP3 players and some picture books, and this guy took those back to his village. And when the people heard their own language coming out of the box, well, they wanted it. And he took a few of these players with him. And so the people were so keen to get it that they were coming and they were swapping chickens and eggs and whatever they had to get these little grey boxes so that they could hear the message. And so people in the village were listening to the gospel and really... they were very interested in the message they were hearing. In a bit of time, the priest in the area found out what was going on and he put a stop to it. There were about 11 or 12 guys who wanted to learn more, and so they came out of the village and they came to Kathmandu and they held a two-week school where Tashi taught these guys the gospel with help from some local Christians. At the end of the 2 weeks, 7 of them were baptised. The whole baptism was quite a story. There was a strike, so they couldn't get to the church to be baptised. So they found a bath, which leaked, and then they got plastic, which they lined the bath with, and they baptised these 7 guys. And then the 11 of them all went home. In this modern era where we've got phones, the people in the village knew about the baptisms before the guys got back. Now, when they got there, they wouldn't let them back into their village. And so these guys went to a nearby village and took refuge there. And they rang up our guy, who said, "I don't know what to do, I'll pray." He rang up Tashi, who said, "Okay, I'm going to come with you." And so Tashi then made the 4-day trek back to the village, and they went to visit the village. And the priest was drunk, and he had a knife, and he went to stab one of the guys, and he fell off a cliff. If you're ever in Nepal, you don't take 2-level steps; it's always up or down. And he fell over the cliff. And the Christian guys climbed down the cliff and they rescued this guy. They took him home, they bandaged him. And when he came to and he realised it was the Christians who had rescued him and not the other villagers, well, he too became a Christian. And now that entire village is Christian. And so this happened back around 2012. That village has now reached out to other villages. And a couple of those villages are now Christian. So there's now about 3 Tibetan villages in that area who are predominantly Christian, because once the priest became a Christian, the entire village just followed. And they are now reaching out into surrounding villages. And so GRN had a part to play in that story. And obviously I'm telling you one of the best stories that I've heard over the last few years. But it just shows how having the good news in your own language can really make an impact. Tashi has since died. He got cancer and he died. But the church continues in that village. They managed to train up leaders in good time. And so the church is continuing to go from strength to strength. And so that is what encourages me to keep on going with what I do. If you think about Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came on the disciples and they heard them proclaiming the good news, talking about God's deeds of power in their own language, all the people who were at the festival. And then Peter preached the gospel to them. And so often in these very remote places, the little box is a novelty, and then it preaches the gospel to them. And so that has proved to be very effective in a lot of areas. Now, I'm the CEO of Global Recordings Network Australia. We are one of the three biggest centres in the network, and we provide almost 90, the three of our centres provide about 90% of the funds that supports the work that goes on all around the world. We're trying to get our centres in developing countries to look to their own local churches because, you know, the things are changing. The church in the West is not getting stronger, but the church in a lot of developing countries is really growing and developing. And so for the work to develop there, their local churches really have to take hold of it and support the work. But it'll be 10, 20 years, I think, before that transition happens. And so from Australia, I am the director of South Africa. We record and do distribution in about 10 countries in Southern Africa, of Myanmar and of Papua New Guinea. Now, Papua New Guinea is a very difficult place to work. The only reason I persevere is because I feel convinced that God wants GRN there. But yeah, it has really been very difficult to do anything there. So I travel a lot visiting these countries. We also financially support Pakistan, Nepal, Bangladesh, Thailand, and the Philippines. And so that is basically Australia's footprint. We provide all the computer services for the network. So I was talking to a lovely couple on the door who speak Romanian. So that's Romanian. And you can see the pictures and you can hear about the gospel. That app has been designed and built in Australia. Oops. Stop. It won't stop. It wants you all to hear Romanian. So yeah, so from Australia we make the mobile phone app, the website is done out of Australia. All of the processing, which puts the messages into different formats so that you can use them, that's all done in Australia. We've got six studios, so all the recordings around the world, they are all sent to the Australian studio where we process them, we check the technical quality, we make them available on the internet. So the Australian office is very important to the network, and as the CEO I am responsible for what goes on there. As we look into the future, there's still about 6,000 languages and dialects that need to be recorded. And if you think about places like Papua New Guinea, you know, Papua New Guinea will say it's Christian, but they've got a real problem with witchcraft, and they've got a real problem with murdering people that they suspect of being witches. I went to PNG to interview a guy a few years ago, and this fellow, the interview was going really well. We actually went to his village in the middle of nowhere. There was no electricity, there was no running water. And we met his church and they were all very nice and friendly. His family were all interested. But we were sitting around after church and he told us how his wife had died a couple of years ago and his stepsister had also died and he had some special responsibility for her. Now, this is a fellow who is applying to join a mission and who had been overseas as a missionary for 10 years. A lady in the church theoretically had a gift from God and said, Joe Blow in the village killed these two ladies using sorcery. And so the church leaders, who were his family, murdered this guy and hacked him to pieces with an axe. Now, these are church leaders in Papua New Guinea. You can't tell me they really get the gospel. So there's a lot of places where people have heard the gospel and they've responded at some level, but they just obviously don't get it. And so I think that our materials have got real value in places like that. because they'll actually hear it in their own language and hopefully understand it. That church service I went to, they sang in their local tribal language. The sermon was in Pidgin and the Bible reading was in English. The people in the congregation, I would imagine maybe 30% of them understood the Bible reading. Probably half of them understood the sermon, and they would have all understood the singing. You know, what hope have they got of really understanding their freedom in Christ? And so having the message in a way they can really understand is absolutely vital. And that is why we do what we do. Now, if you think about the Great Commission, Jesus told his disciples that it was their job to make disciples of all nations. And in Acts, he told them that they were going to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And so that means that you guys are God's witnesses here in Musselbrook, the Hunter, Australia, and to the ends of the earth. And so that's your responsibility. Now, how do you do that? It's difficult enough in Musselbrook. You are making an impact around Australia through Christina Weston, through supporting her. You are making an impact with your scripture teaching, your SRE in the high school here. You are making an impact in Musselbrook. Through your own personal witness, you're making a witness here. To the ends of the earth, you've got Jeremy and family, you've got Gill and family. And so that is how you can fulfill that responsibility, but it's one that is yours. So let me encourage you to really be praying and supporting your missionaries. It really is vital, and it's part of what God's called you to do. If you've got an interest in praying for GRN or supporting GRN, I've got a book out on the table where the welcomers were. You can write your name and your email address there, and I will very happily send you information. If you wanted to support somebody, my assistant is a Sri Lankan man, and he's got a disabled daughter. And with her going to university, his support needs have increased, and he needs about $1,600 a month more. And so if you felt led to support him, he would be very thankful, so would I. I would hate to lose him. He's our company secretary, he does our statutory accounts, he's my personal assistant, and he's our admin manager. And so to lose him would be a disaster. But the gospel is so important, and we know that we are going to have success. Now, the reason that we know that is because in Revelations, they're singing around the throne, Revelations chapter 5, singing a song to the Lamb who's been slain. And they sing that you were slaughtered, in verse 9, you were slaughtered, and by your blood you ransomed for God saints from every tribe and language and people and nation. There's going to be people there from all around the world. I am really excited to know that through the work I'm doing, that there are going to be people there from so many languages who are going to be in heaven. And for you, you know, the work that you're involved in is the work where you'll be able to say when you get to heaven, I had a part of that. And so let me encourage you to invest in the things that really matter. Invest in the kingdom of God, because after this life, everything on this earth is useless. This world is going to dissolve, it's going to pass away. But the kingdom of God's going to be there forever. You're going to be in heaven with people from every tribe, language, people and nation for all eternity. And so think about what you're doing with your time, with your money, what you're praying about. You know, are you praying about your neighbour's toe, or are you praying about something that's going to last for all eternity? You know, I'm not saying don't pray for your neighbour's toe, but, you know, keep it in perspective. Let me encourage you to invest in the things that are going to be worthwhile, that are going to last for eternity, and keep your minds on things above. And thank you for this opportunity. It's been great to be here with you. Oh, okay. You can show it if there's time. It's probably.
Would we like to see the video?
Thank you, Christine. Oh, okay, we've got the video.
We've got the video.
Cool.
My name is U. Probably a strange name to your ears. It could be another name, Nong, or Ajay, Lamaya, or Renit, or any of thousands of names that you have never heard before. Names of people whose lives are far different from yours, like mine is. My house is made of woven bamboo panels and sits on stilts above the sand. The waves of Thailand's Andaman Sea meet the shore only a few paces away. But my house might rather be built of rough stones, carefully fitted together to keep cold mountain winds from whistling in, or of rusting panels of sheet metal and pieces of cardboard leaning up against one another. The houses that we live in are different, but people like me share a common reality. In the places where we live, we have had little opportunity to hear about and understand the God you know and serve. It is more than location that has kept us cut off. We speak our own language, which has never been written down. We have our own history, our own way of doing things, and of thinking about the world around us. We are not large, influential groups. Often, we are poor, and many times powerless. My people, the Mokin, have to struggle even to be recognized as citizens of the country where we live. You could call us hidden people, or maybe rejected is a better term. Sometimes we are the object of tourist curiosity or scholars' research. But not many seem to be very concerned about what happens to us. Most people don't even know we exist. So why would anyone come to spend time with us, showing friendship and interest in what we do and think? That puzzled me and my neighbors when a team from Global Recordings Network Thailand came to us. We spoke with the visitors in our country's trade language, which some of my people, including me, understand. The people on the team explained that they consider our birth language and our culture to be very important. Others have come before to tell us about God, but these people understood that words enter our hearts more deeply when they are the words from our own language, not the one we have learned just to get along in society. I think it must be the same for people everywhere. All that is closest to our hearts, we express through our mother tongue. The DRN team talked with us about the beliefs and lifestyle of our people. They asked a lot of questions, but it made me feel good to answer them, because they seem truly interested. I thought about my own life and that of my neighbors more deeply than I have for a long time. What are the biggest problems among our people? What struggles are we having that we cannot find solutions for? What or who do we look to for help in these struggles? What will happen to us after we die? The DRN team told us that God was interested in us and had answers for our questions and solutions for every need in our lives. They explained that there were stories in the Bible to help us understand where we came from and why we exist, how to have peace and joy in our lives. They also asked about our customs and practices. They explained that they wanted to make recordings in a style that felt natural to us. Again and again, they invited us to give them ideas and to use our abilities for the recordings. Our input, they said, was important because we were the experts on our own language and culture. I was not used to having to come up with ideas, but when I thought about it, I had to agree with them. When we told them that we liked to sing, they were excited. The recordings they would make with our help could have a lot of songs in them, songs sung by us in our own language. We helped them to find people from our group who would speak, sing, or play instruments for the recordings. They were able to make a recording studio in a simple room by using mattresses and blankets. We felt uncomfortable at first sitting behind a microphone, but they helped us to relax and showed us how to speak more naturally. Once recording started, we worked for hours and days. Sometimes the room got too hot, and we all felt tired from sitting in one place so long. Translation was harder work than I thought it would be. We sometimes spent a long time trying to think of the right words to use. Other times, we had to record some parts over and over again because they didn't sound natural. I felt impatient just to finish, but deep down, I was glad that they wanted to do a good job. We all had a feeling that what we were making would be useful and important to our people. I am glad that I have had a part to play in telling my own people about the God who made us, who has given salvation to us and wants to have a personal relationship with us. He has a future plan for us. This recording is a beginning, a way to introduce people to a wonderful God. In the future, I and others hope to work together again with the team from GRN to make more recordings, which we can take to the other islands where my people live. I look forward to having such a gift to give them. A gift of good news, bringing life.
Okay, if you'd just like to stand with us, we'll sing our last song for the morning.